You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
La Pente with Mark Walton.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the Euros Punt podcast. We're looking ahead to some of the outright markets for the knockout stages. The group stages are done, some people would say, finally. We're recording this on Thursday, the 23rd of June, and a couple of days, really, to get involved with the outright markets before the action starts once again. As you just heard there, I'm Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio today is Dave Kellner. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well. I'm not sure about that. Finally. Mark?
Some of the games were drab, David.
Some of the games were poor. We had the game of the tournament on Wednesday night with...
The Portugal game.
With the Portugal game, yeah. That was. I think that was the game of the tournament so far. That was fantastic. And just like Cristiano Ronaldo, really, because all the criticism he's got in the press in the lead-up to that match, given his poor performance against Austria, to produce, and he did produce. He scored two goals and assisted one. And I thought for a fleeting moment, well, for more than a fleeting moment, he was going to come back and bite England in the bottom because the English press had been particularly on his back, maybe, should we say, in the opening stages of the tournament. And it would have just been like Ronaldo to draw England in the second round and knock us out in the last 16. So I think we have dodged a little bit of a bullet there, to be honest.
Undoubtedly. That last gasp Iceland winner... not only provided one of the greatest pieces of commentary anybody's ever heard, but also, I think, has allowed England to get another quarterfinal appearance at the Euros, at least. So,
it was like doing a boxing podcast with Steve Bunce, that commentary for Iceland, because he went into a pitch that only dogs can hear, didn't he? And he did go... His words just made no sense. They all...
Well, they were in Icelandic.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point, Mark. That's a fair point. But even to the Icelandic listeners, those words just amalgamated into one long, 20-second word and scream and screech. It was a... if you've not heard it, go to Twitter, just type in Iceland commentary, and there'll be about 400 links to it, basically.
Yeah.
And it was spectacular. And Iceland, too... Be in this stage of the competition in the last 16 is absolutely incredible, isn't it?
And if you'd have asked England at the start of the tournament who you would like in the last 16, you'd pick the smallest nation there, wouldn't you?
You would. If you'd asked them which side of the draw they wanted to be at the start of the tournament, they wouldn't have chosen this one.
Yeah, that's obviously going to have a bearing on the outright market. We're going to talk about that in just a moment or two. But before we get stuck into the outright market, we've been doing country files throughout this podcast series, and Leif Phelps has provided us with another one. And as Sweden aren't in the outright market, it's the last chance we'll get to play this one.
Welcome to Sweden, a nation of safety-conscious inventors. The Swedish three-point seatbelt is claimed to have saved a million lives. Launched by Volvo in 1959, is now found in 1 billion vehicles worldwide. It doesn't stop there either. The pacemaker, ultrasound and safety matches were invented in this country. An average of 1.8 million meatballs are eaten daily in all of IKEA's stores worldwide. IKEA was founded in Sweden in 1943 by Ingvar Kamprad. Onto food, and one of the most popular flavours of ice cream in Sweden is salmiakki, or salty licorice, which can also be coal black in colour. If you think that sounds quite palatable, how about this one? Surströmming is a foul-smelling fermented Baltic herring. Originating from the 16th century, these days it's fermented over a 4 to 10 week process in tins that blow up to the size of a football under the pressure of the odious gases inside. Restaurants even refuse to open the tins indoors because of the lingering stink, similar to an open sewer.
So So that's another fantastic country file. I do like those, Dave.
Oh, they're fantastic. Lee Phelps has been working at this company for, well, officially for a year and a half now, but been freelancing for a long time. And Country Files is his... it will be... When we write Lee Phelps's epitaph, when all is said and done, he'll be known as the man that invented Country Files. And if that's it, it will always be remembered as a key part, an integral part to this podcast. I love Country Files.
Let's get stuck into the outright market then, Dave.
Yep.
France, host nation and joint favourites for the competition. 4-1 joint favourite with Germany. Belgium 11-2, Spain 6-1, England 8-1, Croatia are 9s. 10-1 for Portugal, 16s for Italy, and 20-1 bar those. If you want the other British teams in there, Wales 20-1, the Republic of Ireland 100-1, and Northern Ireland 200-1. I'm including the Republic of Ireland there in the British teams. Start with France, Dave. We know they've got a very good record when they host tournaments.
Yep.
They are unbeaten in this year's tournament. And what do you say, going swimmingly for them? They haven't really set the tournament alight, have they?
It's going well for them, isn't it? It is going well for them. The negative is, and we'll speak about this in more detail, but the draw, and they're in the bottom half of the draw, so they've got to, assuming England can beat Iceland in the last 16, play England in the quarterfinals, then have a semi-final match in all likelihood against either Spain or Germany. So that's the difficult thing for France. And I don't think they have set the tournament alight. They've been helped by Dimitri Payet, obviously, with those two last gasp. The goal against Albania confirming that victory in the second group game. First group game, 89th minute wonder strike against Romania, which kicked off the tournament, which seems like a lifetime ago. It really does now.
Yeah.
But they've been good, France, without setting the tournament alight. I'd expect Paul Pogba to really step up from the last 16 onwards, because Didier Deschamps decided to drop him in that second group game. And he came back in the third group game. I thought he was very good against Switzerland, even though he couldn't help France to win that match. I thought it was more like the Paul Pogba we've seen domestically for Juventus. So I'd expect Paul Pogba to have a big say in what happens in the latter stages of this tournament. Have you been impressed with France?
In little bits, little patches.
Yeah, I think that's been the same with most teams, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In the tournament, it's not really caught fire yet this Euros.
I think a lot of that is down to the format though as well.
Yeah, I probably agree.
Now teams have to win. 16. I think we'll see the better of teams, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. As far as France's game is concerned, I think they'll beat the Republic of Ireland, but I think it will be tight.
Well, that throws up all of the. I was trying to think of what I can call this game. It's going to surely be a feisty, emotional...
It's a revenge match, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a grudge match, almost.
It is a grudge match for the Republic of Ireland. And that result against Italy, in which they were fantastic, and Wes Houlihan's recovery from missing that one-on-one chance. And at that moment, Martin O'Neill was devastated, and he turned around and went crazy. And then for Wes Houlihan to provide what was the ball of the tournament so far... Onto Robbie Brady's noggin. I thought that was fantastic. And the Republic of Ireland deserved to beat Italy, albeit an Italy that had rested players because they were already through top of that group. It's going to be tight, that game, I think. But I expect France to just edge it. 4-1, about fair.
Okay. One thing to mention from that Republic of Ireland-Italy match as well. Roy Keane. Absolute scenes of joy from the man. He didn't smile, mind you, hardly. But, you know, he was out there with the players, grabbing their throats. Imagine if they'd have lost.
It was almost as if that he'd never felt that emotion before, so he didn't know how to react, Roy Keane.
It's like on Step Brothers when they're going to hug each other. They're like pushing each other away because they don't know how to do it.
That's what it was like, wasn't it? It was weird. It's as if all his life he's been dealing with... that hostility, that pent-up hostility. And then this is a new emotion, happiness. And instead of hugging Robbie Brady, he decided to choke him.
Yeah, he just didn't...
Fortunately not to death.
That's the thing, he just didn't choke him quite as hard as he normally would, I think.
That would have been a macabre ending to what was a wonderful night for the Irish, had their goal scorer been killed by his assistant manager. Yeah, so it was weird seeing Roy Keane like that, because... We're so used to... There's that brilliant clip on Twitter, I don't know if you've seen it, where he's having a standoff with a fourth official.
Yeah.
And one tweeter cleverly put, I'd just try another club.
Yeah.
And he always looks like that, doesn't he? He looks like the bouncer that's had aggression issues throughout his his life, and he's come there and he's thought, you know what, I'll take it out on these people that are drunk outside a nightclub. And yeah, it was strange seeing Roy Keane delirious at the final whistle. He didn't know how to handle it, but great performance from the Republic.
Mm. I've met Roy Keane once.
Have you?
He's not the biggest man, but he's a terrifying man. It's the eyes
scary,
and the dead
it?
Stare. And yeah, I wouldn't mess with him. Germany next in the market at 4-1, David. We've seen a bit of, in inverted commas here, I'm going to use a very big cliche, German efficiency so far.
We have.
Without them really turning on the style.
Yeah, I'd agree with that sentiment. I thought Ukraine had spells against Germany in that first group match, and Germany were, I think, slightly fortuitous in the end to win it 2-0, because after Mustafi scored the opening goal in the 19th minute, they had a long spell, Ukraine. And remember, Ukraine didn't score a goal in the championship. So they had that spell, the Ukraine against Germany, which showed Germany, I think, are fallible. They drew with Poland 0-0. They were absolutely dominant against Northern Ireland. Michael McGovern's performance in that game for Northern Ireland against Germany, he assured their place in the knockout stages, because that could have been any number. It really could have. I watched that one in the studio, and we were all the way through thinking, even up until the 90th minute, you're thinking Germany have got to score a second goal in this game, and it never came for them. Thomas Müller, who we'll come to in the top goal scorer market a little bit later on, he's obviously not scored for Germany yet. I think he'll get a couple in this championship still. In the lead-up to the Euros, we discussed how Thomas Müller is a big-game player.
Mm.
You come to major tournaments and Thomas Müller gets goals. He's had shots in this championship, but not scored yet. Hit the post and the bar. And McGovern pulled off a couple of brilliant saves to deny Thomas Müller. Germany have looked good. 4-1 is not a price I'd want to be taking. I think they need to be a little bit more clinical. They are in that bottom side of the draw as well. Got Slovakia in the round of 16, then the winners of Italy versus Spain. Then hopefully, England in the semi-final. Imagine that, Germany versus England in the semi-final.
Yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Superb going into the game. Might not be so great coming out of the game.
That's a good point. He's not scored in 8 games at the Euros now, Thomas Müller, but has 10 in 13 World Cup games, which is a strange anomaly. But you look at Germany, they've had 44 shots in their last 2 games. Those games that I just mentioned, against Poland and against Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And they've scored just one.
I think they're gonna batter a team.
There's gonna be some leveling out there, isn't there, you would think. So they will, I think they'll take care of Slovakia. If Slovakia play like they did against England, they'll have every man behind the ball. The thing that you've got with Germany is they've got a tournament-winning manager in Joachim Löw, even though he likes the smell of his own. he's a tournament-winning manager, isn't he? Whereas we've got Roy Hodgson, and Hodgson didn't know how to break down with the personnel on offer that team, whereas Germany will. So that's why Germany will win that match. But 4-1, I can leave it.
Okay, leaving Germany then. Belgium 11-2. They've got Hungary in the next round, so I think they'll be quite happy with that draw. Very disappointing in the first game, but they've progressed through the tournament and got better with each match. Does the manager quite know his best 11 though yet? He's switched it around a little bit. Doesn't seem to.
I don't think he knows what he's doing. I'm not sure he knows
what
he's doing.
He's the Belgian Roy Hodgson.
I think he is the Belgian Roy Hodgson. I really do, because Mark Wilmot's in the lead up to this championship. All the football shrewdies, those guys that watch football every second, every minute, every hour of every day, those people, they were saying they're not sure about Wilmots, and I'm not convinced about Wilmots either. I'm not sure he knows what his best 11 is, like you mentioned. I don't think he knows his best formation. I don't think he knows how to get these players to gel as a unit. But all those people after that first game when they were beaten by Italy 2-0, you saw it on Twitter, didn't you?
Mm.
Regulars from our in-play radio service talking nonsense about how Belgium were done, this was it, not a tournament team, etc., etc., etc. Now they're 11-2 third favourites in the market. They're in the top half of the draw, which is perfect for them. They've got Hungary, which is good. They've got the winners of Wales and Northern Ireland in the quarters, which is good. They're progressing now. And in those last 2 games, the Republic, admittedly, when they went 1-0 down, when Lukaku got that goal, they played in a style they're unaccustomed to. They'd much rather have a game like they did against Italy. on Wednesday night, where they can put every single man behind the ball and hopefully nick one on the break. In that game against Belgium, Lukaku scored. They had to go searching and pressing for an equaliser. That's perfect for a side like Belgium, who can counter so quickly. And they did that and ripped them apart at the back. Lukaku got a couple of goals. De Bruyne set one up. A return to form for De Bruyne. And then a Nainggolan, who's been on the fringes slightly in this Belgium side. Didn't play that well in the second game. I think he was substituted in that game, if memory serves me correctly. He scored the winner against Sweden, who have had a bad tournament. But Belgium 11-2 with a lack of tournament winning experience, a lack of knockout know-how to a certain extent. I think it's too short now in the betting, Belgium at 11-2, and I think most people would agree, even though they have got the right side of the draw.
Yeah, it's kind of right side of the draw, great squad, great team, great players in there, ranked number one side in the tournament, but they can't quite put it together. They're still a team of individuals rather than that unit that you need to win a tournament.
I think it is coming with them, with Belgium. I definitely think it's coming, but you've got to look at the stats, and this is the first time they've ever won back-to-back games in a Euros.
Good stat.
Which is a decent stat. Their last five goals, by the way, have come in the second half, so they've tend to find a way to wear teams down in second halves of matches, which would figure, because they're a dynamic football side and you're going to be chasing the ball a lot against Belgium in the first halves of games. So it's no surprise they have managed to wear teams down in this championship so far. 11-2 is a little bit tight, in my opinion, given that they were 12-1 pre-tournament. I know they've got the right side of things now, whereas all the sides that pre-tournament, like Germany and France and Spain, were more or less the same price, or have even got bigger now we've reached the last 16. Belgium have got noticeably shorter, and that's enough to put me off, despite them being the right side of the draw.
Yeah, one of the sides that has grown in price, if you like, is Spain. 6-1 in the market now. I'm going to make a bold statement, Dave.
Yes.
Relatively bold statement, and say I would not back Spain at 6-1. They will not win the Euros.
They're my fancy.
Hey!
I like Spain at 6-1. Really? I do like Spain at 6-1. Based mainly on price, it has to be said. I think they've been the most impressive side in the championships so far. I do.
I was not impressed with them against Croatia.
I wasn't impressed with them against Croatia, but every single football team can have an off night. And because of that, they've gone into that wrong side of the draw now, and they've got Italy next. I think they'll take care of Italy without hesitation here. I think they'll win easily against the Italians. That game against Turkey, I know Turkey are out of the Euros now, and I put them up as my dark horses at the start of the tournament before we get floods of emails and tweets about this. I did. But Spain cut them to shreds. Alvaro Morata with a couple of goals, and Nolito got the other one. I think they took things lightly against Croatia. Even though Vicente Del Bosque didn't change his side at all, where as a lot of teams that had qualified, a lot of managers decide to tinker with their teams, like Roy Hodgson did. Alvaro Morata scored early on, and Croatia, they were dominated in the match. I watched it, and Nikola Kalinic scored in the 45th minute, bang against the run of play. In the in-play radio studio, you're thinking, how many of Spain are going to win by at that point? And Kalinic scored, and then even Perisic got one late on, and David De Gea had a poor game, came out for a couple of crosses that he shouldn't have come for and made mistakes, and Perisic beat him at his near post, which shocked me, really.
Yeah,
given how
doesn't make many mistakes, does he?
Doesn't make many. You think of his season he's had with Manchester United, he's been spectacular. I wonder,
maybe that's what it is, maybe the, you know, having to carry Manchester United on his shoulders for a whole season has just taken its toll.
Possibly so. Possibly so. You could be right there. But given that Del Bosque was kind of under pressure pre-tournament to choose between selecting Iker Casillas or David De Gea, I'm not saying he's definitely going to be out of the round of 16 game, but it wouldn't be a surprise if Casillas came in for David De Gea after the performance against Croatia. Wouldn't be a surprise at all. Italy have actually used more players than any other team at the Euros so far. They've used 22 players, but they've failed to score in three of their last four knockout games at the Euros as well. I reckon Spain will take care of them handily. It wouldn't be inconceivable that you see a Spain-Croatia final if you're looking at the name the finalists, because I think Spain... I'm pretty sure Euros are either 2012 or 2008. I'm going on complete memory here, and I can't remember what I ate for my breakfast, so this is a negative here. But I'm sure they were beaten in a group stage match. It must have been Euro 2012 by Italy, and then they came and faced Italy in the final and gained revenge. I think that's the way it worked. Anyway.
They haven't lost a game at the Euros until since 2004 until this tournament.
Okay. Well, I'm getting that completely mixed up then. I'm sure. Maybe they drew with them. Anyway. That's by the by. I think Spain have been exceptional in this tournament so far, and I think 6-1 right now is the value in the market. That's where I'm hanging my hat. So we're going head to head here.
Yeah.
Do you think Italy will knock Spain out then?
If Italy do, I think Germany will.
Right, okay.
Croatia were the better side in that second half against Spain. Mm. And they pressed them and they outpassed them and they just had more hunger than Spain. And I think if things aren't going right for Spain where they're not passing teams to death, and I don't think they have the out-and-out striker that's going to make teams pay for that now, I think they don't really have a plan B and they struggle then. And Croatia found them out, I think. And I think that will happen in the knockout stages, whether it be Italy setting up not to concede and just hitting them with a counter-attack. Because, like I say, I don't think Spain have that killer edge anymore, or whether it's Germany just outplaying them and Spain not having an answer.
Here's one for you. This rings a bell here. Spain beat Italy 4-0 in the Euro 2012 final.
Yes,
I think they must have met each other in the group stages and drawn.
Right,
I could have a look. But Spain have actually beaten Italy in their two previous encounters in the knockout stages. That one in the final, and then drew with them 0-0 back in 2008. And knocked them out 4-2 on penalties. So there's a lot of history there.
Mm.
Third successive time they've met Italy in the knockout stages at the Euros. So there'll be revenge on the minds of the Italians. And they did weaken down against the Republic of Ireland. You'd expect them to go with their... Obviously, they'll go with their number one starting lineup here. So it will be interesting to see if Italy can replicate the performance they put in against Belgium in that first group match. If they can, they've got a chance against Spain, but I like Spain at 6-1 as the value in the market.
Okay, so I can take out of that as well that you're writing off Italy at 16-1.
Yeah.
England, 8-1 in the betting there. They're going to have to do it the hard way. Granted, Iceland might be the easy tie to get through to the quarters, but then they're probably going to meet France. And then in the semis, they get either Spain or Germany or Italy. So it's not going to be an easy way through if England get there.
Well, this is a disaster, isn't it?
Disaster.
Even though they are through, winning that group, England would be favourites to win the Euros now. And I heard Mark Lawrenson say on the BBC that, you've got to beat all the top teams anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you've not got to beat all the top teams.
If you end up in the other half of the draw.
It's a complete fallacy that you've got to beat all the top teams. If they ended up in the... Where Portugal are in the other side of the draw, they'd have had to beat Croatia, winners of Switzerland versus Poland, then either Wales or Belgium in all likelihood in the semi-finals. That's not having to beat the best teams. The best teams are all in this side of the draw. Germany, Italy, Spain, France, all in this side of the draw. Top five in the betting pre-tournament in the bottom half of the draw.
Yeah.
So that's complete nonsense. You know my reluctance to... A lot of people have suggested on my Facebook feed, admittedly, which is not... I wouldn't trust it, let's put it that way. A lot of people suggesting, England can still do this. They can still do this, of course. But my reluctance to back them now at 8-1 hinges on the fact we are three matches into the tournament. Roy Hodgson doesn't know A's best formation... And B is starting 11, best starting 11. Would you agree?
Yeah, because he's had to change his mind because Harry Kane's not fit. He looks tired to me. Dele Alli's not doing the same as he has for Spurs. How do you fit the midfield together?
You say that about Dele Alli, but I think he provided the flick for Daniel Sturridge.
In patches, yeah, little flashes.
I think he's got to be in the starting 11 as far as I'm concerned. But my worry is... At the end of that match against Slovakia, who was stubborn and dropped every single man behind the ball, as you would expect a nation like Slovakia to do, as Iceland will do in this knockout match. They are going, they know that they aren't going to be able to, from a pure talent point of view, outplay England. So they're going to put all 11 men behind the ball. England, Roy Hodgson, Gary Neville, the players, have to work out, if they do that, how do we break this side down? There was a lack of idea in the closing stages against especially second half. First half had chances. Second half played well. Second half, I thought they were poor. And given the way they are playing right now, or if you've got to play against a team like that, I'd play as three centre-halves and play with Kyle Walker and Danny Rose as wing-backs to give you natural width there that they've not had throughout the entire tournament. What's the point? What was the point of bringing Marcus Rashford if you're going to play like that? Why not bring Andy Carroll? Because at the end, they were just throwing balls into the box.
Yeah.
And if you're going to throw balls into the box, they've left the guy that heads the ball best, arguably in the Premier League, they've left him at home. And so I think the tactically, he's a little bit inept, in all honesty, Roy Hodgson, and that's what worries me about England. I don't think he knows his best starting 11. I don't think he knows what formation to play. And when you come up against a team that's stubborn and difficult to break down, they don't.
From here on in, though, we won't be playing, barring Iceland, won't be playing teams that are stubborn and difficult to break down.
Listen, I wouldn't back England at the prices right now to beat Iceland. I really wouldn't. And you're talking about a country with a population of 330,000.
England will beat Iceland.
And to put that into context, that's a similar amount of people to Wakefield. Me and you both come from Wakefield, Mark.
Yeah.
If you've not already noticed from the accents, listeners. I wouldn't be entirely convinced that we're going to beat Iceland in 90 minutes. England's last four knockout games at the Euros have all gone to penalties.
Yeah.
They won the first shootout against Spain in 1996, lost the last three, Germany, Portugal, Italy. They've lost the last three, Euro 2000, obviously, 2004 and 2012. So I'm hoping we're not going to go to a penalty shootout against Iceland. I'm not entirely convinced they're going to win that game. If they do, they've got the winners of France, Republic of Ireland, which might be France. 8-1, you can have it.
Okay. Any others you want to mention in there, Dave?
Yeah, just to mention quickly, Croatia, 9-1, top half of the draw. I think they're underpriced compared to Portugal. That's very tight. I think they're very closely matched, actually, Croatia and Portugal. Got to mention Wales. 20-1, they would be my team if I'm having a team from the top half of the draw. Definitely have them. I think they've been fantastic in the tournament so far.
You think they'll beat Belgium?
I think they could beat Belgium. Yeah, I think they could beat Belgium. Even though I've been sort of talking up Belgium in this tournament, yeah, I think they could definitely. They've got the best player in the tournament.
Yeah.
In Gareth Bale.
Save that for in a minute.
They've got a very good manager as well. So Wales would be my pick from the top half. I like Portugal. Wales at 20-1, Portugal at 10-1. Value in the top half.
Yep.
Bottom half, Spain definitely value 6-1.
Okay, let's move on to some of the other markets. Top goal scorer, Gareth Bale 7-2, Alvaro Morata is 4-1, Cristiano Ronaldo 6-1, Romelu Lukaku 6s, Dimitri Payet 12s, Ivan Perisic is 16-1, as is Olivier Giroud, Antoine Griezmann 25s with Jamie Vardy and Mario Gomez and Thomas Muller, in fact, 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. So they're kind of in goal order here. Traders haven't thought too far outside of the box.
No.
Gareth Bale and Morata both on 3 goals. Ronaldo's got 2. Lukaku's got 2. Payet scored 2. Is the market right?
I think the market is pretty much right. The players that I like in this market, basically, you have to look at which team you think is going to progress, first of all, because that's obviously crucial at this stage in the tournament. And there's no point in going back to other Euros either to see goal scoring tallies, because we're playing with 24 teams this time, so that changes things. Because in Euro 2012, I think it was 6 players tied with 3 goals, and we are betting each way a quarter, 1, 2, 3, and 4. The man that I really like is Alvaro Morata at 4-1. I know you're scowling at me there, or smirking.
It was more of a smirk between
a smirk and a scowl.
Laugh at your Morata.
Yeah, but he's obviously leading the way with Gareth Bale at the moment with 3 goals. But the way Spain play, I like Morata, because Spain do play that intricate passing game, and all their goals have come sort of from that. You'd call it an inside flanking position, I think they'd call it in the old days.
In what spot?
In the old days, it's difficult to think of a. It's like an inside wing position. Do you know what I mean? Like not a number, sort of where Daniel Sturridge has been playing throughout right. the championship so far.
Yeah.
Where Cristiano Ronaldo and Gareth Bale play inside flankers, I think I'd call them. But they play intricate passing, then getting behind teams. And Alvaro Morata's goals have come with balls slid across the face of goal. His game is suited to the style Spain play. He'll have more chances. And given that I think Spain are the bet in the outright market, which I do, I like Alvaro Morata at 4-1. I think Gareth Bale is the right price at 7-2 because you'd expect him to get one against Northern Ireland and then he'll come up against Belgium. And I think that's a game they can win Wales. And that's why I think 20-1 compared to 11-2, Wales in comparison to Belgium is definitely the value. I can see Bale scoring more goals. And if you look at attempts in the tournament so far, which is a good guide for this, he's had 11 attempts on target, Gareth Bale. And I thought he pretty much controlled their last group game, Wales. That match against Russia, in which they won 3-0 and Bale got the last of the three goals. He was superb in that match. Understated performance, but fantastic nonetheless. So he's had 11 attempts on target, which is by far the most at this year's championships. So I do think that he's the worthy favourite at 7-2. Cristiano Ronaldo, I like as well. I do like the top three in the betting here, 6-1. You look at the amount of attempts Cristiano Ronaldo's had. I mean, he's gone 43 kicks without scoring, direct free kicks in major tournaments with Portugal now without scoring. And people are saying, why doesn't someone say something to him? I'll tell you why, because that signals the end of your international career if you do. And even Fernando Santos, no one can tell him, that's it, you're not taking free kicks anymore, even for the good of the team. You'd think one time Ronaldo might hold his hand up and say, I've had 40 now. I'll let someone else have a shot.
No, he won't. He'll never do that.
No, he won't.
He'll never do that.
Because he's selfish, but...
see his reaction when somebody doesn't pass him the ball. It's all about Cristiano Ronaldo.
He's pure theatre. I love him. I absolutely love him.
Great to watch.
Oh, fantastic to watch. And he's been... I mean, in this generation of footballers, you would. And I think... I'm not sure Gareth Bale enjoys playing with him at Real Madrid, in all honesty. Even though he'll come out and publicly say, no problem here. I love playing with Cristiano. 6-1's the right price. You look at his shots... He's had 8 attempts on target, 13 off target, 11 blocked. He's hit the woodwork as well. Played fantastically against Hungary, scoring twice. Love him. When he's heading a ball, there's no finer sight. Is the amount of height he gets on his jump. Oh, it's incredible. Missed that penalty in the championship so far as well. So it's been an up and down, topsy-turvy. But if you think Portugal are the value in the top half of the draw, which I do, you can't put anyone off at 6-1. But... we'll come on to another market with Ronaldo very, very shortly that I prefer even more. But Ronaldo 6-1, I think is a good bet. I'd leave Lukaku alone at 6-1, in all honesty. Took advantage of a weak Republic of Ireland defence. So he's the one of the top four in the betting I like least. So note him down, listeners, because no doubt we'll end up getting a couple more. Ones at bigger prices, because there are big prices out there on this market.
I've got two bigger prices.
You throw your couple at me then.
Antoine Griezmann, 25-1.
Yes.
Because I think France could get quite far. We've seen him score already. Rested him and tried to keep him fit
I think he even dropped him, didn't he? I'm not sure he was rested for that game. Deschamps came out and in his press conference, he wasn't happy with a couple of performances.
Yeah.
And it was no surprise to see Paul Pogba and Antoine Griezmann left out. So, yeah, either rested
I took it
or
as
dropped.
He was rested because he played in the Champions League final, missed a penalty there as well, so give him a bit of extra time to get over that.
Yes.
Whereas Pogba was dropped for not obeying tactical orders, basically.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So I think 25-1 is a fair enough price to have a stab at him.
Yeah.
And my other one, you're not going to like at all, David.
Go on.
Jamie Vardy. 25-1.
You see, I don't think he's going to play.
I think he keeps his place.
Do you? I'll be intrigued to see the that's what I sort of mean. No one knows, does
no,
it?
I
and
suppose.
I don't think Roy Hodgson knows at this moment. I've heard, from what I've read anyway, from football correspondents that are out there tracking England's national side, that it's a straight choice between Jamie Vardy and Adam Lallana, weirdly, for a starting berth, which I find... I was reading this.
He's putting Kane back in the middle and he's putting Vardy on the left.
Yeah.
Or the right, either way.
Yeah. Well, precisely either way. Who knows? It'll be 20 minutes to go in the Iceland game. It'll be 0-0 and everyone will be on. And it'll just be play wherever you want. All the strikers play wherever you want. And that was definitely the case in the game against Slovakia and against Russia.
And against Wales.
And against Wales. Where he just throws players on. They play without any formation. And he sits in the dugout with his head in his hands, just praying that they're going to score a goal.
England will beat Iceland, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
They should win with a canter, really. I know Iceland have been determined and well set up so far. But if England get an early goal, which they're very capable of doing, then Iceland shouldn't know what's hit them, in theory. And if England get even two or three and Vardy pops up a couple of times, he won't be 25-1 anymore.
They clearly haven't been clinical enough, have they? I'm not sure about the Vardy bet because I don't think he's going to start, in all honesty. That's why I don't like it.
If he doesn't start, then don't have the bet.
That's fair. That's a wait to see the... You can do this, can't you, as well?
Yeah.
But I suppose with England playing on Monday, things will have changed, won't they, in this scorer market?
They will, yeah.
So you might even get a bigger price on Jamie Vardy by that point. You probably will. England have had 46 more shots than their opponents, direct opponents, Russia, Wales and Slovakia over the first three games, but have scored just one more goal.
That's a damning stat, isn't it?
It is a damning statistic, that, isn't it? And is that because they've lacked clinicalness, or is it because they're just shooting because they don't know what to do and how to break sides down from distance and getting shots blocked? We saw a lot of that in that game against Slovakia.
Yeah.
Hell of a lot of it. They've had chances, England, haven't they? They've had chances, England.
One of these times, they're all going to go in.
Well, hopefully. It's just not
they'll
happening.
All be Jamie
you know what? It's just not happening in my lifetime, so I'm sceptical.
We're getting bogged down there a little bit, I think, by England talk.
By England chat. And that was always going to happen, I suppose.
I suppose it was.
My bet's in the market here. I'll go Morata at 4-1 and Cristiano Ronaldo at 6-1 and I'll leave the more original picks to someone else.
Ronaldo at 6-1, by the way, it might not be original, but he's on the preferred side of the draw. Yeah. Portugal should get quite far in that, and he's the guy that's going
to
score.
It all depends about that, because Croatia is slightly favoured in the market there to beat Portugal. I think if they come through that game, you'll see a lot of cash for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm. Player of the tournament then to finish with, Dimitri Payet 4-1, Andres Iniesta is 6-1, it's 10-1 for Cristiano Ronaldo, Gareth Bale 10-1, Paul Pogba 14s, Toni Kroos is 16-1, Alvaro Morata 20s, as is Kevin De Bruyne, and 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. Obvious players towards the top end of the market there, Dave, Payet's been instrumental for France, Iniesta for Spain, Ronaldo obviously for Portugal. Gareth Bale's been the standout for Wales, perhaps in the tournament for me, but what do you make of the market?
Yeah, I'd say Gareth Bale at 10-1 is a fair... I think this market is priced bang on, pretty much, apart from one man, and I'll come on to him in a second, but Dimitri Payet at 4-1 looks reasonable. I think, unquestionably, at this stage, he's been the player of the tournament. I know we mentioned Gareth Bale there a moment ago, and Bale may be vying for that spot. He's played all three games, whereas Payet came on as a substitute in one of them and couldn't influence that final group game. Cristiano Ronaldo's the value, isn't it? 10-1, Cristiano Ronaldo. You look at... I just think from a historical standpoint, more than anything else, he's got two goals in the championship so far. Everyone's talked about how badly he's played in the opening two games. And then he caught light against Hungary, scoring twice, assisting once, as mentioned. And he's now played more games than any other player in the Euro finals as well, 17. And he's become the first player to score in four different Euros as well. Now just one goal short of Michel Platini's record in the competition. If he breaks that record and Portugal go on a run to the final. Yep. That's he's sewn up player of the tournament. Shoo-in, absolute shoo-in. And you're getting a double-figure price now at 10-1 as well. So he's got to be... I know he's had those 40 free kicks without scoring.
He's due a goal from a free kick.
It's hilarious, isn't it?
Just imagine they get to the final and a Ronaldo free kick wins it for them. The world will explode.
It will. His head might explode. But 10-1, he's the value in this market, in my opinion. Again, you've got to consider, with player of the tournament...
Somebody's got to get to the final.
Someone's got to go the distance to get this award. So I like Cristiano Ronaldo at 10-1 to win it. I said earlier, Paul Pogba, 14-1. I think if France are going to achieve the success the country desires in these championships, he's got to start being a little bit more influential in games. And I think we will see the best of Paul Pogba in the second half of the tournament. So 14-1 for him is a fair price, but I think the standout's Cristiano Ronaldo, 10-1. Again, I'd pick a couple of players from the top half of the draw that you expect to do well, and Ronaldo at 10-1 and Bale at 10-1 seem like fair prices to me. Portugal, they're in the top quarter, and Wales are in the second quarter, so those two teams wouldn't meet until that game on the 6th of July in Lyon if they both progress to the semi-finals. And then hopefully if you get Wales-Portugal, you're in a good position anyway, because in all likelihood you might have taken one of those two teams or one of those two players to be the top tournament goal scorer as well.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of ways of working this. But Ronaldo at 10-1 and Bale at 10-1 seem fair prices to me against the market favourites. And it could be that Dimitri Payet, he's peaked too early in the tournament, and we'll have a little bit of recency bias when the player of the tournament award is announced, and the judges might remember what's happened late in the latter stages. In these stages that really, this really matters now, the last 16 knockout football, this is when it gets serious. And we might not have seen a player produce his best yet that will come into the reckoning for player of the tournament. I wouldn't rule out Eden Hazard either at 33-1. He set up Nainggolan in the Belgium in their last game, which they won 1-0 in the knockout in the group stages. So I wouldn't rule him out at 33-1, but the players that I like there, Bale and Ronaldo, both 10-1. I think if you split your stakes there, you won't go far wrong.
Fair enough. I suppose it's interesting which team you think will progress out of the Croatia-Portugal game, because should Croatia go through, then you look at players like Luka Modric and Ivan Rakitic, who've been instrumental in midfield for Croatia.
Yeah, and Perisic, I think.
And Perisic as well. They're all big prices, you know, 25s, 33s and 33-1 respectively for those three. So,
and I think as well with Croatia, if you are thinking about 9-1 now Croatia, and they were 28-1 generally pre-tournament, so that's a major collapse in the odds, given that they have drawn the good side of the draw unquestionably and have to come up against Portugal. I don't see anything between those two sides. I wouldn't be surprised if that went to penalties, that knockout game, because I've not been as unimpressed with Portugal as a lot of other people have been. I think Ricardo Quaresma will definitely come back in and start this game. He looked very strong in the latter stages against Hungary. I wouldn't be surprised if he gave Renato Sanchez more of a game as well. Just got a half against Hungary, Renato Sanchez.
You love that guy.
I do love that guy. Well, he's been sold for 50 million, so it's not just me.
No.
And we've only seen 45 minutes out of him so far. which is a surprise as far as I'm concerned. It'll be an entertaining game, Portugal-Croatia. I think Croatia have probably got the best midfield in the competition. Luka Modric, even Rakitic, even Perisic, and Brozovic as well, who's been fantastic. So they'll be difficult to... They'll have a lot of possession in that game against Portugal, and they'll need to keep Ronaldo bottled up. And if they do, they can progress. All these markets, especially player of the tournament, even more than the goal scorer markets, they've got to tie in with a team you expect to go the distance.
Yes,
that's an obvious thing to say, but it is the key.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Thank you, David.
Thank you, sir.
Been a
pleasure. We've waffled on a bit there, but hopefully you've enjoyed it, listeners.
Yeah, hopefully you're still with us.
Yeah.
If you've had any sense, you might have turned off 10 minutes ago. But thank you very much, Dave. It's been a pleasure, and good luck with the rest of the tournament.
Thank you, sir.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.